the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The empty tomb. These are things that are involved with proving why we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. As we continue our study in Basic Facts of the Faith, we hope that you'll decide to join us as we continue this study. Please stay tuned. And now, John Grubb. We are so happy you have decided to join us today as we study God's Word. We are studying a series of lessons entitled Basic Facts of the Faith. The last time we began to discuss why we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we pointed out that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, because He is eternal. Christ existed before He came to this earth. Also, we believe that Jesus is the Christ because of the way He came to this earth. That is, through the virgin birth, as prophesied in Isaiah 7:14, and as Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25, gives the fulfillment of that prophecy. In connection with the virgin birth of Christ, we discuss the prophecies, the other prophecies that He fulfilled, the more than 300 prophecies found in the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled every one of them to prove His deity. Further, we discuss together that all men sin, according to Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And one of the proofs that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is while He was on the earth, He did not sin. And the Hebrew writer tells us that He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And then the last thing we talked about in our lesson last time was that the miracles that Jesus performed proved that His words were true. The miracles proved that God had sent Jesus to this earth, and the new revelation that He was giving were proven by the miracles He performed. And so we've looked at five proofs so far in our study together concerning our belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so today in our lesson, we begin with number six. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, because others bear witness to that fact. Who am I? Do you know? I've told you at the beginning of our lesson, you've probably even seen my name down on the screen somewhere during the lesson. My name is John Grubb. How do you know? Well, because somebody recognizes me, and they will tell you that I am John Grubb. Plus, I have a driver's license that proves that I am who I am. Also, I have a passport number that does not belong to anyone else. These are ways of proving that I am who I say I am. Jesus came to the earth and He said, I am the Son of God. But others also bore witness to that fact. And there are a number of others who did bear witness to that fact. For example, our Heavenly Father bore witness to the fact Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, when He had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Later in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, the Bible records, While He was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." On that occasion, in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, Jesus was speaking with Elijah and Moses. And so when our Heavenly Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear Him," He was pointing out that we were not to hear Moses or to hear Elijah as our authority for religious matters anymore, but we were to hear Christ. And so the Heavenly Father bore witness to the fact Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. On the other hand, there were people who did not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and yet bore witness to that fact. One example is Pilate and his wife, as recorded in Matthew chapter 27, verses 19 and 24. Verse 19, "While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, 'Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him.'" So here's Pilate's wife speaking to Pilate and saying, "Don't have anything to do with this just man." The word "just" here means righteous. So Pilate's wife calls Jesus a righteous man. Well, what does that mean? That means the things Jesus said were right and just for him to be a righteous man. You wouldn't call a liar a righteous man. And Pilate's wife calls Jesus a just or righteous man. Then in verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." So both Pilate and his wife, not believing in Christ, and yet bearing witness to the fact Jesus is who He said He is. Further, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, a certain centurion had something to say about Him. The Bible says in Matthew 27:54, "So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" And so here are two examples of people who did not even believe that Jesus is the Christ, and yet they call Him the Son of God, and they call Him a just person. In addition to these individuals, the apostles of Christ bore witness to the fact that Jesus truly is the Son of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, Peter tells us about the eyewitness testimony he made. He says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." They didn't just hear about it. They were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Verse 17, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Peter referring back to the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was speaking to Moses and to Elijah. Peter was there on that occasion and saw that. Verse 18, "And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mount." And then the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So here are two apostles, Peter and John, who were constantly with Jesus while He was here on the earth. Two apostles who later went to their death, whether it was a violent death or a peaceful death, they went to their death testifying, bearing witness to the fact Jesus is the Christ. John the Baptist, sometimes called John the Baptizer, also bore witness to the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. Verse 29, the Bible says, the next day John, this is John the Baptizer, not the Apostle John, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water." And John bore witness, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon Him. I did not know Him, but He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom ye see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, this is He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" Isn't it interesting that the Heavenly Father makes that testimony concerning Jesus being the Christ at His baptism? Peter references the Transfiguration, where God also says that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then John the Baptist refers back to the time when Jesus was baptized. And all of these examples, all of these references show that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Because, yes, He claimed it for Himself, but others also bore witness to that fact. Now in the seventh place in our discussion of why we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we want to talk about His death, burial, and resurrection. The first four books of the New Testament tell of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. Paul gives us the reason for His death in his letter to the Romans. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. He says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation." And so Paul tells us why it was that Jesus died on the cross. Peter tells us when this was planned, this sacrifice that Jesus would make. And he tells us it was planned before the world began. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. He says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 20, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And so from these two passages of Scripture, we already learn two things. Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross so that we might have the opportunity to be saved. And that this plan for Jesus to die for us was planned before the world was created. The Apostle John adds, the Lord's death was for everyone. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus died for you, and He also died for me. John also says that in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Yes, Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross so that you and your friends and your neighbors and every person has the opportunity to become a faithful child of God, a Christian. We're talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everyone, or just about everyone, believes that Jesus was crucified on the cross and buried. An excellent account of the crucifixion of Christ is found in Mark chapter 15, verses 16 through 28, and verses 42 through 47. Of course, Matthew and Luke and John's account are also excellent. But we get a good overview of the crucifixion in Mark's account in chapter 15. In spite of this excellent account, there are many who doubt the resurrection. Many do not want to believe Jesus rose from the dead. They don't mind believing that He died. Some, of course, even deny that. But they do not want to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They try to deny the resurrection of Jesus. However, it cannot be denied. The tomb where Jesus was buried was empty 3 days after Jesus died. Yes, 3 days after Jesus died, there was an empty tomb, an empty burial site, an empty grave. Those who do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead try to give other reasons for this empty tomb. And as we continue in our lesson, we want to discuss some of these theories that people have come up with to try to explain why the tomb was empty, but not the resurrection of Christ. The first theory is called the swoon theory, S-W-O-O-N. Maybe you don't know what the word swoon means, but the word swoon simply means to faint. This theory says that Jesus did not really die. He just fainted. After a while, according to this theory, Jesus woke up and left the tomb. Therefore, according to those who promote this idea, the tomb was empty. However, the Bible tells us Pilate made sure Jesus was dead before he let Joseph of Arimathea bury Jesus. We're going to read from Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 42. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is,
the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph observed where he was laid. Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus was already dead. So what did he do? He sent a soldier to see if Jesus was really dead. Well, even in modern times, soldiers know how to tell if a person's dead or not. But back in those days, soldiers really knew how to tell if a person had died or not. And so this centurion comes back and says, yes, he's dead. He didn't faint. He didn't just pass out for a while. And then when they put him in the tomb, he walked away. He really died. And so this idea that the tomb was empty because Jesus just fainted, and then after he fainted, he woke up and left the tomb. There's no evidence for that. On the contrary, the evidence is he really died. Well, another theory is that Jesus was buried in the wrong tomb. Some try to say that Jesus was buried in the wrong tomb, so when the women came to the grave on the first day of the week, they did not find the body of Jesus because he was in another grave. But the Bible clearly tells us that the women observed where he was laid. Mark chapter 15 and verse 47. So this idea that they put Jesus in one grave, and when they came on the first day of the week, they went to another grave, or they went to the wrong grave, cannot be supported, because the Bible says they observed where he was laid. So Jesus didn't just faint, and he was not buried in the wrong tomb. And so a third theory is set forth, and that theory is that his disciples stole the body. It is not possible that the disciples stole the body of Jesus. Soldiers were guarding the tomb. The disciples would not be able to get past them to get to the body. Later, the disciples boldly said that Jesus had rose from the dead. They were even willing to die for the cause of the resurrected Christ. Would they be willing to do that if they knew they had stole the body of Jesus? They were discouraged because they thought their hopes were ended. They had forgotten the promise of the resurrection. They did not steal the body to cause the tomb to be empty. Well, a final theory that people set forth in discussing this empty tomb other than the resurrection is to say his enemies stole the body. Why would the enemies of Jesus steal his body? They had guards to keep the body of Jesus from being stolen. Later, this is the story the guards were bribed to tell, as recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 through 15. And in that passage of Scripture, it says that the guards told the chief priests about all of these things that had happened. But the enemies of Christ had no motive for stealing the body. They had opportunity, but no motive. If they stole the body, why did they not, on the day of Pentecost, present the body of Jesus to those people that were listening to Peter on that occasion? They didn't present the body on the day of Pentecost because they didn't have the body. They did not steal the body. They had no motive for it. They had no reason to do it. And so we note that had Jesus not risen from the dead, instead His body had been stolen by the guards, they would have presented it on the day of Pentecost. They would have simply said, Peter's talking about the resurrection. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Here's His body. They didn't do that. Why didn't they do that? Because Christ really had risen from the dead. And so, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. There's plenty of evidence to prove that. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And Paul gives us proof of that fact, that Jesus really rose from the dead. In our next lesson, we're going to see how the Bible clearly tells us Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, because He rose from the dead.